Glad to be here. This has been a long, great, wonderful, challenging, difficult week. And one of the little wrinkles is Friday I twisted my knee. So if it's okay, I'm just going to sit down and talk with you this morning. Ironically, I'm going to be talking about standing. We are in Ephesians chapter 6, but before we get there, I want to tell you a couple things. Number one, I want to invite you to come and be a part of our celebrate. On Wednesday evening, we will be over in the grass area. Just an opportunity, bring your lawn chairs. We're going to pull out some of the old songbooks. We'll get a chance to sing and fellowship with one another. We got some ice cream sandwiches, so we'll stick around and enjoy just an evening together. Next Sunday, Gustavo Prado, he's the minister at the Brewer Road Church of Christ, will be coming to speak to us. I will be out of town with my family on that Sunday, and so I look forward to hearing his message online. I look forward to hearing how you received his message. Gustavo has been a blessing to me over the last few months as we've really gotten to know one another, especially during COVID, and hearing what God is doing there at the Brewer Road congregation has been very encouraging. And you may know that originally that congregation has been Hispanic. Their services have been in Spanish. The majority of their congregation is of Hispanic descent. And as they've continued to grow, as they've been there now for many, many years, Gustavo was sharing with me a great challenge that many of these that are first generation here in the United States or early immigrants, they speak naturally Spanish. But their children and their grandchildren are growing up, going to school, listening to TV and music, and learning English. And so now this second, third generation, their heart language is really English. And he said, I've got a growing congregation of Hispanics whose now main heart language is English, and we're trying to morph over into a predominantly English service. And so they've got some challenges ahead of them in their group setting as they work through that shift. Secondly, I want to let you know we are finishing up Ephesians. Today we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 6. And we've been walking through these chapters these last 5 weeks. Now this is the sixth. But after Gustavo is here, I'm going to spend a couple weeks looking at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. And I'm going to spend a couple weeks looking at that promise, that truth. And I want us to recognize that God puts such a high bar of opportunity in front of us. But sometimes it is our poor thinking, our simplistic, humanistic thinking that thwarts what God is doing and wants to do. And so we're going to be looking at that in the coming weeks. I want to share with you one more thing before I really get started. For the last couple weeks, we've been doing this Monday is Friday, spelled F-R-Y. And we were going primarily to the Dario's, and last week we were over in Kernersville. And I want to tell you, I've enjoyed each of these weeks, but Kernersville topped it off. I was invited to come and sit at the young kids' table. And not only that, there was one young man, Colin, who came in his cowboy boots, his shorts, and his t-shirt, and he had his little tie on because he was going to go have lunch with Mr. Matt. And he brought me a tie. And so today I want to wear that just to say, Colin, you made my day. I loved it. And then I got to sit and have lunch with some elementary, middle school students who just made me feel like I was young at heart. And their vision, their joy, their zest for life was quite a blessing in my life. I want to challenge our congregation to be a congregation that loves and respects our older generation. I want us to be a congregation that loves and respects our younger generation. And if we all show up in little clip-on ties, what a blessing that would be. This morning we are in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul is finishing up this message. And let me just summarize this for you. Chapter 1 is when you believed. This idea that God was already at work, but when you believed, you joined in. And chapter 2, God says that we are united, that this spiritual work of being built into a dwelling place for God's Spirit, we are connected, both Jews and Gentiles. All of these from around the world are being built into this great dwelling place for God. We are united in grace. It is because of God's grace and mercy. It is not because of our works. It's not because of our intellect. It is not because of our skills or abilities, but it is because God went before and he paid the ultimate sacrifice that we could have a relationship, an intimate relationship with him. Paul writes that in this relationship, though we are built together, we are to treat one another as if we are tied together in peace. The ways we interact with one another should be peaceable. The ways that we present to the world should be peaceable. And so often, isn't it the church's history for so many that they see the church as angry, as militant, as proactively destroying people and their ways of life? That's not what Paul is encouraging us to do. And last week, as we talked about submitting to one another, this concept of giving power and leadership, giving ownership over to others. And Paul gives an intimate example of husbands and wives. He gives an intimate example of the church and the way that we interact and we worship and live together. We need to submit to one another. It is wonderful to see brothers and sisters who yield over to the weaker brother or sister. It is wonderful to see as we have new ones coming in and their thoughts and feelings are accommodated into this family and we become a new family of God. But Paul continues to write, and in chapter 6, he takes these examples of life. He's going to give us an illustration of the armor of God. And he's going to call us to stand together. Now, again, this is not just a metaphor. This is not just a simple idea of at the end of the service, we're going to stand for an invitation or a final song. This is a real family joining arm to arm. In the midst of conflict and challenge, we will stand together. When I want to run, when I don't want to be here, but you're holding me and helping me and guiding me and encouraging me, when you are afraid, when you are down and out, we join arms and we stand together. There's a powerful story in Scripture about a group of people who would stand in faith of what God was doing, despite all that they would see before them. Now, I want us to notice a couple things as we look at chapter 6. I've been encouraging you to read each of these chapters each day as we go through. And so I know some of us have read this book now 6 times. I hope that you have found some great instruction and value to this. But I want us to see really what God is talking about as he talks about the armor of God. If you would look at Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10 with me. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Paul is going to say, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. This finally is not a, here's one more addendum to add on, but this is a continuation of all that he has been talking about as we have decided to join Christ, as we've been united, as we have been given God's grace, as we are submitting to one another, as we are standing with one another. This is finally, as an example of all of this, I want you to see one more thing about God. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Ephesus was a place that was known for their religious temples and gods and goddesses, their places of worship of demonic being. So many aspects of their life, their agriculture, their health, their marriage, their economics, all were placed under some sort of god or deity. And Paul is giving illustration to the supreme power of God. In our world, quite often, we don't give notice to demonic beings or even to the heavenly being of God or his angels. We live almost unaware of any of these things that are going on. And we act as if this is all on us. But Paul writes, and he says that we should stand against the devil's schemes. Peter would say that the devil is roaring. He is roaming around, roaring like a lion, looking for someone that he can devour. If our eyes are not open, we will fall victim time and time and time again to the same sins and selfishness that continue to destroy us over and over again. But really, our struggle is not against these things, these wants and wishes, but our struggle, he says in verse 12, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of the evil in the heavenly realms. Paul is drawing our attention to the supreme nature of God, God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son. He is illustrating over and over again throughout this book how God is supreme, how God is involved, how God is willing to participate in our lives. And Paul is illustrating that the devil and his workers are working as well. And if we don't open our eyes, we will miss this great battle that we are a part of, that we should be engaging in, that we should be aware of what is going on. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Paul writes to us, and he talks to us about putting on this full armor of God. He is giving us an illustration of really what is to be taking place in our lives. I'm going to talk about this misconceptions we have in just a moment, but I want us to see the picture that he is presenting to this early church. This idea of being prepared for battle. And he asked them to put on this belt of truth. That so often in our worlds, truth is tossed from side to side. It is your truth. It's my truth. There is no the truth. When Jesus says, I am the truth, that seems to dissolve away in our day and time. This belt of truth is the way that we interact, the way that we live. Sometimes we try to deny this truth as we live in the world. We live as the world. We participate in all of the worldly, godly, ungodly activities, and yet we show up and we sing these songs. We act like Christians at certain Christian times, and we try to then think that we have surrounded ourselves with real truth. but one by one we are being led astray because we continue to watch these shows. We continue to listen to this music. We continue to participate in these activities that are ungodly. They are untruthful in the picture that they present about what real life and success and happiness and joy mean. Brothers and sisters, it shouldn't be that way. We need to put this belt of truth on. We need to be fitted with this breastplate that covers our heart, our internal organs, the real nature of who we are. David would say, may the words of my mouth, may the thoughts that I have be pleasing to you, God. This is the internal nature of who we are. We want to be protected by this word. And so far in our culture, this word has been left untouched. The word love has been tainted and destroyed. The word of Christian or Christ follower has been so manipulated and taken away from us. So many Christian words or biblical metaphors have been stripped from a true meaning. But this righteousness still holds a great value, even in our day and age. We know what is right or righteous, that we are living with integrity. Even though the world will try to sell us genuine fake leather, I don't understand why we continue to put up with such nonsense. But the righteousness of God is our internal making. And how we live, how the health condition of our heart really is made up, is so important for us. We are fitted with the gospel of peace. This means that we are rushing towards activities of peacefulness, that our feet are not swift to go towards those situations in which there is blood or destruction, but we are engaging in opportunities to bring peace, bring the message of peace, bring Christ into our world. We are fitted and ready for this race into the world to speak peace. We are not bystanders. We are not silent in our lives, but we have our shoes ready to roll. We are ready to move. We have a shield of faith. This is something that's going to protect us. We know that Satan is going to speak into our minds these lies of deceit, these shortcuts of life, these ideas that we really don't need to pay attention to God's word. And we're going to put up that shield and we're going to stop listening. We're going to hunker down and we are going to avoid those traps that have trapped humanity from the very beginning of Adam and Eve all the way until today. And Paul will say, put this shield up, because Satan, the evil one, will throw these lies and these schemes at you. And they are not true. They are not valuable. They are not worthwhile. Deflect them and move on with your life. This helmet of salvation, this mindset that our aim is to live with a future goal, that we have been saved from the destruction, that sin and its consequence is no longer an effect in our life, but we have been given an opportunity to be children of God and live in His presence. The sword of the Spirit. This is the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, I think this is where we often leave and forget that our interactive nature with God is so important. Our daily, continual, regular Bible study and participation with God's Word is so important. If you are not letting God into your life on a daily basis through the stories and the examples and the teachings and the commands of Scripture, you are living on your own power and you are not strong enough to defeat the schemes of the evil one. I want to challenge us, not just a few of us who have read Ephesians over the last 5 weeks, but all of us to dive deep into God's Word over and over again and let His Word, His Spirit, continually lead and guide us. Now, let me talk about a couple of misconceptions, because oftentimes when we think about this armor of God, it's similar to this picture. Oftentimes, this is male. And the truth is that this armor of God is both for male and female, that we all are involved in this battle. Oftentimes, this vision is antiquated. armament, that we don't ever see any of our soldiers, our officers, dressed in anything like this picture anyway that we would often put up of a Roman soldier. This is oftentimes an individual who's looking well-rested, who's a model for the old Navy and never has been in the Navy, who's never been tested, who's never been involved in a battle. These pictures look like guys who have just come back from a photo shoot and not from a battle. They don't even look like men who would be able to go into battle. And maybe that represents who we really are spiritually, that we are unaware, that we are unprepared, that we are unwilling to get involved in a fight. And so we want this picture of a bystander who looks like they might be ready to go, but really in reality is not. This picture is somebody who is all alone, usually. And Paul is writing this as an illustration because we have been united in Christ. We are being built together as the dwelling place of God's Spirit. And so he says, put on the full armor of God, Matt, so that you will be able to protect, so that you'll be able to defend, so that you'll be able to encourage those that are around you. You put on the full armor of God so that you will build up and encourage Matt when he is being overrun and worn down and under attack. You engage in this truth, this belt, and surround one another. You put on these feet that bring peace and blessing into the lives of one another. You put on this helmet of salvation and preach this word that there is a future home and what we are in right now is not the end of our story. Amen? And we will speak to one another. We will engage with one another. We will stand side by side, shoulder to shoulder, back to back as we engage in this battle day in and day out. And it doesn't happen just because we're here for 1 hour a week. It's because we are engaging in each other's lives. We are in home groups. We are on the phone. We are connecting with one another. I want to tell you about this sweet, sweet couple that came to our office this week. They've not come to our worship service in several months, primarily because of COVID concerns, primarily because they are deaf and our translating system has not been in place or capable. And so they have been watching online. And you will see the name of William and Betty Sparks over and over again in the comment sections of our online videos and Facebook posts. They came in this last week because they wanted help reconnecting to our church app so that they could better connect with you. So they would have phone numbers and emails, able to text and message. In fact, these last few months have been some of the most disconnecting times for our church, but they're striving to make it one of the most connecting times for them and their relationships. Not only did they proactively come in so that they could stay connected with you, they came in on their 60th anniversary because this church means something to them. That's what it means to stand together. I know that in our lives, sometimes we will fight a battle in which we are alone, in which we are standing by ourselves, even though we know that there are brothers and sisters who would stand with us, but our battle in this moment is for ourselves. I was reminded of this passage in Habakkuk chapter 3. Starting in verse 17, it says, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the field produces no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in my God, my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of deer, and he enables me to tread into the heights. Whether we are alone in our momentary battle or we are united together, let us stand united. In Exodus, there's a story of the Israelites. they are enslaved in Egypt. And you may remember the story of young Moses as he's being born, and all of the males are supposed to be destroyed. His mother puts him into a basket and sends him down the river, hoping and wishing that Pharaoh and Pharaoh's daughters might bring him out. His life is spared. He's brought back to his home for his mom to take care of him for those early years. And then he's taken back into Pharaoh's palace, where he's taught and led. Over a series of events, Moses grows up. He finally leaves out of fear because he has killed an Egyptian soldier. He's living out in the desert, and God calls him now to come back and lead these people out of Egypt. And as he stammers and he stutters, as he goes through all of these challenges and he tries to give God, please don't make me do this, Moses eventually takes the helm. He goes before Pharaoh, and in the course of 10 great plagues, destroying and devastating Egypt, Pharaoh finally relents and he lets the Egyptians go. The Egyptians are now free. They have actually pillaged and plundered the gold and the silver and great artifacts from Egypt, as the Egyptians are just saying, please leave us alone before you utterly destroy us. Please take whatever you need and go. And so the Egyptians march out of Egypt. The Israelites march out of Egypt in a great victory, though they never have lifted their hand. God leads them away from battles and leads them now to the Red Sea. And in Exodus chapter 14, the story picks up, where God now brings Pharaoh and his army back around to come and try to bring the Israelites back in. And in Exodus chapter 14, verse 10, it says, "And Pharaoh approached. The Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them, and they were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, 'Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert.'" Now get this picture. This is a mass of people. Some people estimate more than 1 million are coming in this exodus out of Egypt. And they are finding themselves hemmed in by the water and now trapped in by Pharaoh and his soldiers. You can imagine the turmoil, the chaos, all of the questions that are going on. And there are ones that are wanting to run and flee. There are ones that are ready to pick up and fight. There are ones who just don't know what to do. And they're running scared back and forth, wishing that they had some sort of answer. Verse 13. Moses answered the people. In all of this chaos, in all of the questions that are going on, as the army is approaching, Moses answers the people and he says, "Do not be afraid." But listen to his next words. "Stand firm." How many of us over the last few months have wanted to run and hide or fight or do something that our anger, our frustration, the decisions that are happening in our politics, within our world and our culture, within the economics, whatever is going on is calling us to rise up and rally or pull back and hide away. And God says, "Stand firm, brothers and sisters, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today." Paul finishes Ephesians chapter 6, verse 23, with three things that I want to share with you real quick. Peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. I want Ephesians chapter 6, verse 23 and 24, to be in our hearts and our minds as we go forward this week. May we offer peace to one another in our interactions. The times are challenging and difficult. Decisions are being made. Things don't go our way. Brothers and sisters fail and fall beside us. Offer grace. Because He has offered grace to us while we were still enemies of the cross. Love with faith. Love with the belief that what is going on right now is not the end of the story. The situation, the failing, the mistake, the sin that we are encouraging, that we're helping, that we're trying to teach through is not the end of the story, but God is at work and there will be transformation, there will be redemption, there will be love making a difference in someone's life. Let us live that way. Not quiet, not solitude, not withholding, but let us engage with love that is faithful. And finally, let us give grace. Grace to one another. Peace, love, and grace. This bond of peace that we have, this armament that we should be putting on, this spiritual warfare that is going on about us. It's not just for your elders to participate in. It's not just for your minister or ministry staff to participate in. Paul is writing to the entire church, both new in their faith and old in their faith, both men and women. He's calling all of us to stand together, united in love, binding ourselves in peace, because He has been so gracious and forgiving to us. He is building us into His own dwelling place. And all of this happens not as a command that we're forced to take, but because we first believed that this message is true. So now we participate fully because we want to be a part of all that God is doing in this world. Our shepherds are standing by. They would love to counsel and pray with you. Our office is open throughout the week. Come and let us study with you. If there's anything that you need to do this morning to put on the armament of God more fully, if you need to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior and put Him on in baptism, being clothed anew, there is no better time than today. Let us be a family. Let us struggle together in this life, but let us be victorious in this life as we stand together. Let's stand together and sing this song.
Lord, take